Yeah, it's difficult. It takes the second key of judgment to forgive correctly, because it's a complicated thing. All the feelings that surface, we want to forgive in such a way that the person doesn't see encouragement to come back in your life if he's a negative person. But forgive and forget. Yeah.
And on the other hand, I wouldn't give love and gratitude to Adolf Hitler. So.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks. I think there's another. See, in situations, there's multiple values competing for what's the key thing, you know? And it's important to not just get locked into, you know, it seems to be about forgiveness, so that's the most important thing here. There's all sorts of other things that might be as important or at times more important. And so, to be able to see, like, the forgiving is ultimately the best thing if you can get there. But there's also understanding the proper attitude and the proper takeaway from the situation. Like, you might be able to forgive the person, but you sort of haven't sorted out what the problem was there to begin with. And then the situation will either come back around or come back around in a different way.
You maybe harbor negative feelings, but it's not really clear what caused them to begin with. Mm. Maybe it's not clear in everybody's minds. Yeah, you have to get clarity. You have to get clarity, that's for sure.
But like a lot of people, I'm not one of these people, by the way, as some people probably know. But a lot of people are very quick to forgive and not have conflicts and stuff like that. And often that's at the expense of the intellectual view of the situation. You know, you can get too intellectual and be, you know, tight on the emotions, but it's like, what's the thing there that's the most important? Is it there's some intellectual thing to understand, or is it letting go of the emotions, or maybe they're equally important or whatever?
Okay, I'll end with this part on forgiveness with my basic attitude, how I handle it. When somebody does something that offends me, I go with the idea that is now in the past. And the past is not here. It is if nothing has happened. If nothing has happened, there's nothing to forgive. But you intellectually understand what did happen, and if the person is such a person that it's best to eliminate from your life, then it's best to not send them any thought, because energy follows thought. You figure it's best if this is one of the people that I don't see again. So you put them out of your mind. Yeah, you have to do this right away. I find that once somebody elbows their way into your life, then it's really hard to get them out. So what I do is I'm very selective about people that take that first step into my life. I sum them up right away. And if I think... And my judgment is pretty good about judging people's character. And if I get a feeling, this, like somebody comes on like they want to be my best friend, I think, don't get the right vibe on this guy. I'm going to ignore him and tune him out of my life. And that's when it's really easy to tune people out of your life, is when they're trying to take that first step into your life. That's when it's easy to get rid of them. But when they take three or four steps in there and you allow those steps to be taken and then they consider you a good friend, then if they turn negative, it's very difficult to get them out of your life. It can be done, but it's much more difficult than when they're just a casual acquaintance, because eventually... people that become your good friends started out as casual acquaintances. So once you have casual acquaintances, only admit the ones in your circle that vibrate well with your own soul. And that will be the path of safety, most normally. Also use some common sense, because sometimes people mistake... their feelings for their soul. So use your common sense and your highest inner perception. Okay, any other comment on forgiveness?
Yeah, I got one. There are three positions that I like to look at. You talked about two of them. One is the actor, where you're engaged with that person, and so you've done me wrong, and now I have to, you know, take measures to forgive you, and it's really hard because I'm attached. Okay. Then there's the observer, where I detach myself from myself and try to look at the whole thing objectively. But there's another position, and that is the director. If you can see yourself to rise above both people and see yourself as a director, where the two people came together for a particular reason, and you really have to be in a state of detachment to do that, you can see, well, they're down there playing all these roles, and there's a reason for that, and they're getting a lesson from it. You have to really detach yourself from that space of being a victim or even being in the role, but I'm directing it. Now I'm directing all these particles, these people down there, in a way that, I can see it from a much higher level, and so I'm not as involved emotionally in that drama.
Okay. Thank you. So the two sensations or feelings that we're dealing with in this key is forgiveness and guilt. And with either one of these, if either one of these is a problem, there's going to be a barrier between the disciple and the soul. You may have some soul contact at times, but it won't be in fullness if there's any lack of forgiveness, or you're harboring ill feelings or grievances because of lack of forgiveness. We must let all grievances go. And grievance is the key word for forgiveness, because if you feel a grievance toward any individual, then from a higher level, you are feeling grievance toward yourself. If you attack any individual, you are attacking yourself. The way you see any individual, no matter how bad he is, it's a reflection on your own self-image and your own self. So we have to let those things go to clear the channel between ourselves and our own souls. And it's hard to do. It's hard to let things go. But that's what you have to do. And like I say, what works for me is just when somebody does something bizarre or crazy, I just think, well, that's the past. Let's focus on the present. The past is if it has not happened. Okay? But you can intellectually keep the past to an extent that maybe you want that guy out of your life. So you arrange it so you don't put any thought in his direction, but have that as like a thought in a different box where it's not affected by a grievance or emotion. Don't let any negativity enter your actual heart. Okay. So the next important thing to overcome to achieve soul contact is to overcome guilt. And guilt is a real big one, because many of the people that Jesus healed, do you remember what he said to them? What was that?
Go and sin no more.
Right. He said that, and he also said, your sins are forgiven. Okay? And boy, that really riled up the authorities. Who is this guy? Does he think he's God? He can forgive sins? You know? Yeah, he didn't say that because of him being God or anything like that. He said it because he understood the principle. He understood that when people feel guilt, It interferes with the flow of energy in the body and often will produce illness of some kind. All kinds of illnesses are caused by guilt. And then when we have guilt and we suppress it, we suppress the feeling connection with the guilt, then there's blockages in the energy flow that is even worse and can produce cancer, heart disease, all kinds of different things, tumors or whatever can be produced through guilt and the feelings that's associated with it. What produces guilt is an interesting thing. Guilt is produced by what? What do you think produces it? What gives you? What gives something power to produce guilt in you?
Illusion.
It's illusion. Guilt is produced by illusion 100%. But what creates the illusion?
An idea.
How is the disciple or the pilgrim deceived? It's a deception. Guilt is caused by a deception. Where is the deception that produces the guilt?
Is it through authority?
What'd you say?
Through authority.
Right, you're on the right track there.
External authority, your parents.
External authority. Society. Right. What produces guilt is the feeling that you have offended God. Okay? And this is even true for an atheist, because an atheist or a non-believer has a concept of something higher than himself, even if he won't admit it. And they have substitutes for God. No one has done anything to offend God. God cannot be offended by us, no matter what we do. He understands our weaknesses and frailties, and no matter what we do, he's not offended, okay? But guilt is caused because we think we have offended God. And who tells us that we've offended God?
The accuser.
Sometimes the accuser, but that doesn't wash with me. Somebody can accuse me all they want, and I don't feel any guilt, okay?
The scripture, Satan is called the accuser.
Right, Satan is called the accuser of the brother. But what actually produces that feeling? What gives an accuser power to make you feel guilty?
I have a thought.
Yeah.
My own beliefs.
I think a lot of it is the feeling of inadequacy and comparing to others, like the expectation, you know, like feeling inadequate.
Okay, that's a big part of it.
Oh, Phil.
But there's an important key here.
I think that there is a... It's tied to the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in that somebody tells you what is right and wrong, and you believe that, you
okay,
take that into yourself.
Okay, you're on the right track. Somebody tells you what's right and wrong, and who's that somebody?
You. You accept what they've said.
Yeah, you have to accept them as being that somebody, but who's that somebody that tells you what's right and wrong?
I am, myself.
You decide who tells you that, but who is that person that's teaching you? It is somebody that is taking the place of God.